Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled, multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, you can find us on the web at revivallife.church.
So, I want to give honor to this, to the inspiration of this word. Me and Carl, we have a teacher that we really admire, Dr. Chris Green, and he had inspired more than one of my messages, and this is one of them. When I say inspired, I'm being very nice. I'm going to quote him a couple of times. So this message had actually changed the way I see myself, the way I see my community, the way I've seen my calling, and hopefully it's going to do the same for you. Is that okay? All right. Let me start there. We live in a culture of comfort. We live in a culture of control and knowledge. Like everything we see in TV or we read, it's everything about control, knowledge, and it's you got this. We got the right insurance for you. We got the right clothes for you. We got everything around. It's built just for us to feel comfortable. And that we know what we're doing. And that we are in control of what we're doing. This is the culture it's being preached to us from the world. That if you're not in control, if you don't know, if you're not comfortable, something's wrong. You gotta go look for an answer. And guess what? They gave you the answer. And guess what? It's the wrong answer most of the time. So we live in a culture like that. If we don't allow ourselves to live in a place of discomfort, lack of control, and lack of comfort, we're going to have a problem walking with Jesus. We're going to have a problem. Let me give you some examples in our lives where we deal with discomfort or lack of control or lack of knowledge. Let me start with three examples. Marriage. For the man in the room, I know you want to act like you have a control. You know. You and me know. So, marriage is one of those places. You don't have full control. You don't have full knowledge. You don't have full comfort, but you still do it. You still love that person because it's the right thing to do. You just move along. We act like we know sometimes. We just don't. Our wives know. Sorry. I mean, it's right? To the men in the room. If I'm wrong, it's fine. The next thing we do is children. For those that have children, right? Talking about lack of control right there, right? We don't stop raising our kids because we don't know exactly whether. No, we just go. We just go with what we have. We move along because we need to do it. We need to take care of them. We need to. It's our calling. And sometimes, also with friends, right? Like you know somebody, you just know that person is going to be your friend, and you just invest your time, you invest your attention, you be with that person. You don't know exactly where that's going, but you invest. You know that's your call to do that. But sometimes, with the Lord, we think it's going to be different. We think that walking with Jesus is going to be full control, full knowledge. I'm not going to move until God tells me 100% what I need to do. I need to be full on control and comfortable. Or God, see, I don't go far to say that's not the life with Christ. That's not a very encouraging beginning of a message. But it's true. It's true. And how much, I think, actually maturity, let me read this to you, is the way I wrote it down. How much maturity is how much discomfort, lack of control, and knowledge we are willing to endure before we move forward of what needs to be done. Like a child, no discomfort at all. They feel bad, they cry. An adult, we just do what we got to do. That's it. But sometimes with Jesus, we behave like childs. We stay there. I mean, I'm a pastor. Sometimes I see in my room people like, I want to know the will of God for me. Well, take care of your family. Well, take care of your finances. Well, do this, do that. But I need to know clear. Why do you know to know clear? Why do you need to know clear? It's right there in front of you. Oh, yeah, but I don't feel it. But you don't have to feel it. You just have to do it. And that's a misunderstanding. So today, I brought a message. By the way, I listen to the pastor's call message every week when it comes out. When it doesn't come out on Monday, I call him, hey, where's the message? Because we meet every Tuesday. We're very, very, very close in that sense. So he told me to share this message. It's the prophetic community. So we've been talking about community. This is the message. It's called the prophetic community. But. Let me explain to you what kind of prophetic community, what kind of prophetic I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the prophetic that you just saw happening, the gift of prophecy in my life. Not that. Like I can tell you what God's going to do, what he's doing, what he will do. Not that kind of prophetic. That there's a place for that. This church encourages that. That's fine. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about how can we become a prophetic community where we can bear the word of God and we can with each other. That's it. That's how it can be prophetic. That's in that sense, it's the sense that I want to talk. When in Numbers 11, when Moses tells, I'm going to read it to you. You don't have to put it up. It says this. So Moses, it's answering his disciples saying, but Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people, would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them? So this is what happened with us. We are a prophetic community in that sense. God had answered that prayer, and now we are a prophetic community. How are we going to look at that? Well, the ultimate prophet, one of the ultimate prophets that can manage, that can show that to us is Mary. Because she literally bare the word in her womb. Right? So we're going to look at the life of Mary, and we're going to see how can she shows us or models to us how can we become a prophetic community. Is that okay? So we're going to walk through the beginning of the conversation in her life, and we're going to see how she becomes a prophet and shows us how to be a prophetic community. Is that fine? Okay. Before I go there, there's something I do on my when I preach most of the time. It's that I show some art. I know there are things that we cannot communicate by just telling you, showing and telling you. That's why we sing, right? That's why we sing at the beginning. Because there's, you should see my dancing. That you can't communicate that. You can't communicate that. You just have to see it. It's just things you cannot communicate if it's not through art. So dancing, painting, singing, all you name it. So what I like to do is I like to show you, I selected a paint that it comes with this, to me, it comes with this message. And the reason I show you this paint is because I want you to appreciate it for 15, 20 seconds. And I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you. I want the Holy Spirit to see. You. I don't want you to limit your imagination. This is a painter that painted this painting in 1898. So I want you to see the painting and allow it to minister to you. That's it. That's all I wanted to see. And it's a painting about the annunciation of the angel that we're going to read. So you can put it up. You can take a look. So this painting is in Philadelphia, in the Philadelphia Museum. It was painted by Henry Ozawa Tanner. And it's he lived in the Midwest for a long time. So, in the Middle East, sorry, for a long time. So that's why you can see the influence of the textures in his painting, in his paintings, the way he depicted Mary, and the way he depicted the angel appearing to her in his mind. That's the way he sees it. I think it's very beautiful, the way he saw it, it appears to her. Right, so you can go ahead and check it out if you want to. If you ever go to Philadelphia, you go to a museum, you can see it in person. All right, let's go. Let's dive into the Word of God. Let me pray before we dive into this, and let's dive in. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for inviting us at the table. Thank you because you have given is your word that is alive and it's transforming. I pray for everybody in this room and for those who are listening online that it's not going to be just knowledge. It's not going to be just information. I pray that what I'm going to share, it's going to be transformational to our hearts, transformational to our communities. I pray that it will get us closer to who we really are, closer to our community. And also pray that it will bring us awareness on how close you are to us. We love you, we praise you, we trust you. May your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's start reading then. I'm going to go to Luke 1, right at the beginning of the story. If you want to follow me, Luke 1, verse 26. Let's read. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Verse 29. But she was very perplexed at this statement and was pondering what kind of greeting this was. Okay. First, let me start here. She's not the first one that is surprised that God is speaking to her. We have other examples. Moses, we have Samuel, we have Jonah, we have Gideon. Different reactions in those, but it's a common thing in scriptures when God speaks to us that we get surprised. We perplexed is the word. So as a community, there's something that God's speaking to you, he's doing in your life. And that should makes us perplex. That should makes us, wow, Yahweh, the God of the universe is speaking to me. Not disbelief, but perplex, happy, surprised that God's speaking to you. But now, hearing from God or bearing something that God start to understand what God is doing is not comfort all the time. It's not comfortable all the time. Sometimes it brings some discomfort. You're like, Mario, but yes, sometimes it brings, because we don't hear what we want to hear. But we see, we know it's God. So this is hearing from God, understanding that God is doing something in your life, might bring doubts in you, might bring insecurity in you. But you still wanna say yes. So hearing from God, don't get me wrong, is not the nicest thing in the world. It's nice because we are listening from God. That's the blessing. But it doesn't feel nice all the time. So this is what we see right here, the perplexity of Mary as she listens, as she hears the angel speaking to her. But now, how to say this? You, when you came here today, when you come here every Sunday, let me make something very clear to you. God, like right now, God's not starting something in your life right now. God is already doing something in your life right before, even before you walk through that door. There's this idea sometimes, wrong idea I should say, that when we go to a service or when we go to pray or when we go to read the scriptures, now God's going to start something in me. No, he's been doing it. He's been close to you. There's this idea that we say, I'm going to pray so I can get closer to God. Well, I don't like that. I don't like that expression. Because God is as close to us as he can be. I understand that we pray, we acknowledge that he's close. Well, that's true. That's true. But imagine that this very small ball, it's right here. I can see it. I can see it. But he's right here, as close as it can be. The moment I start praying, wow. And now I feel like I got closer to God. No, I'm just realizing how close he is already. So do not walk in here. I know God has always something new to do. I understand that. But even the new that he's doing come from something that he's already doing. So if you come here for the first time, or whoever comes here or even if you met a friend or you have a friend that you consider not a non-believer, do not approach that person like you have something to offer that God's not already doing. Come on. Do not approach that person like you have something that person needs that God is not doing in her life or his life. No. You are actually the response from God to what he's doing in his life or her life. You will say, I used to be, before I got, had my encounter with Jesus, I was an atheist, an agnostic. So, I was not interested in reading scriptures to learn, but I had Christian friends, which I like to make fun of. I just like to make fun of. But, you know what was the Bible that I used to read? Them. They were the Bible that I used to read. So sometimes you look at your friend that is not no Christian. You're like, how can I share the word with him, Mario? And I understand there's importance for that. There's a place for that, right? But you might be the Bible that he's reading. Actually, you are the Bible that he's reading. By your life, by the way you treat them, by the way you minister to them. So let's not jump in to say God's going to start something that he's never done. He's been doing it in your life and in my life. And that's what Mary can see here. That's what Mary's so perplexed. Right? Let's continue. So I don't spend too much time on this one. So verse 30 now. Luke 1 verse 30. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the sons of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How this be, since I am a virgin." Okay. I don't want to break any news to you, but virgins don't get pregnant. Breaking news. So now Mary is obviously very confused. This is going to happen once, that's it, in the universe, that's it. So she's very confused. She can't even go past the fact. It's interesting when you read it. Look, the angel says, "He's going to be great." Verse 32. You don't have to put it if you don't have it. "He'll be great and call the Son the Most High. The Lord God will give him the..." Like, he's telling so many things. And she can get past the fact that, "Oh, I don't care about all that. I'm a virgin. How's this going to happen?" So sometimes, how have you been there? You see God doing all these promises to you. "Oh, you're going to do this. You're going to be this." Whoa, but I'm Mario. I mean, God, you have missed this. It's me. Another thing that I want you to see here is, I'm not saying she's wrong. I'm saying she's rightly confused. She can't see her limitation. She sees her limitation. But another thing that I want you to see is, what God is doing in your life, it's always a continuation on what he was doing in somebody else's life. Listen to what he's saying. Verse 33. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." And he relates to his father David in verse 32. So when God is announcing that he's doing something in your life, as a community, he's always continuing to do something that he's already doing. That's why he's calling David and Jacob. He's telling Mary, listen, what I'm doing is going to continue in you. And that's what I want you to understand. To become a prophetic community is to know that what God is doing in 2024, March, is a continuation of what God was doing in the past year. And it's an essential step what he's going to do in Boca for the next years. Let's not detach ourselves. To become a prophetic community is to understand that we are a continuation of the work of God. Now, I don't know if she thought about this, but I would. Now she's thinking, "I'm going to get pregnant. And I have Joseph. How am I going to explain them this?" And also, she's going to go through a lot of changes. I mean, I've been around pregnant women. You go a lot of change. You women here, you can say, you can help me here. You go to physical change, emotional change, social change. You eat more. You can't sleep in bed. You start, you start growing literally. You get your hormones get all kind of messed up sometimes, right? You change. And Mary, it's seeing this. She's going to start getting changed. She's going to start, because everybody's going to see that you're doing something in me. And this is to become a prophetic community. That's what it is. Sometimes you come to church and you can't see what God is doing in you, but somebody can. They look at you like, "Oh, you're gaining weight. You put in some weight. Yeah, God is doing something in you. Oh, you've been eating much than you need to," right? There's some change on the pregnancy. No, in a good way. There's some change when God touches your life, and when you are pregnant with the word of God, when God is doing something in your life that you cannot see. Only those that are around you are going to be able to see. And that is the power of the community. That you come and that you will be vulnerable enough to allow others to see what God is doing in your life. Good and bad. Sometimes God does something in our lives that will show some things that it needs to get away. You're like, "Oh, okay, let's not do that then." So she thinks about that. She knows she's about to get out of her comfort zone. Things are going to change in her life. She doesn't know, but things are going to change. And then How do we face those changes? This is the thing. As a community, when you see God moving in your life, moving in your family, when you see something change, how do we embrace those changes? Well, we allow those changes to happen first. We allow God to happen to us. To be a prophetic community is not that we are the Word of God, is that the Word of God happens in us. We are the place that the Word of God dwells. The change happens. We are like, okay, I'm going to allow that to happen to me. We, like the pregnant woman, we're going to protect the Word. We're going to protect what God is doing in us, right? You sleep different. You don't want that baby. You know, I discovered recently that pregnant women, at some point, you cannot be in the front of the car, like driving in the front of the car because of the airbag. You have to be in the back. So depending on how pregnant you are, how many months, you have to be in the back. Because if there's an accident, that airbag can harm the baby. If you don't know that, now you know. So go check. No, don't get my word for it, right? So what God was doing in Mary's life and what God is doing in our life when we become a prophetic community, it's greater than we can imagine. But not greater than we can believe. Because that's why he's saying. Mary cannot imagine. Cannot. And no, we wouldn't blame her. How big and how important and how transcendent is what's happening inside of her. And I will argue that we don't either. Why do I say that? Ephesians 3:20. He's good beyond we can't imagine. Beyond you can't imagine. Now you're trying to imagine. Well, it's beyond that. Try to imagine again. Well, beyond that, this is when we allowed our comfort zone to be stretched, literally in her case, stretched to house what God is doing in our lives. But let's move on. Now we go to verse 35. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, also, the holy child will be called the Son of God." Verse 36. "And behold, even your relative Elizabeth herself has conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called infertile is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." Verse 38. "And Mary said, 'Behold, the Lord's born servant. May it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." All right. When I read this for the first time, I was really intrigued. Why is the angel pointing to Elizabeth? Mary already has her hands full. She's about to get pregnant. Things are going to change. But now God is giving us a key. Giving Mary a key. Your cousin is pregnant. Just saying. The same I did into you, I'm going to do into her. Not the same miracle. Because what happened with Elizabeth, we've seen it. There's miracles like that in scriptures. What happened with Mary is unique. But in a sense, it's a pregnancy. So God is pointing to Elizabeth as what? As a confirmation of what he's doing in Mary's life. So to be a prophetic community is to know that what God is doing in your life, it might not be unique. It might be unique, but it's not new in the sense of he's doing something in somebody else's life. And it's going to draw you together. It's something beautiful here that I want you to see. In verse 38, Mary says, "May it be done." Another version says, "Let it be." It's beautiful how this is an reenacting of Isaiah 6. When in Isaiah 6, God says, "Who am I going to call?" What does Isaiah say? "Let it be, call me." She's purposely reenacting this, according to Luke. And also, it's beautiful that he's also echoing the creation story. When God says, "Let it be," and things start happening. The earth, the water, the animals, everything starts happening. It says, "Let it be." Now, he speaks, "Let it be," to his creation. And his creation speaks, "Let it be," back to him for the new creation. This is reenacting of creation. The new creation is going to be not just God speaking, "Let it be," but his creation, us, speaking back to him, "Let it be." And here I'm quoting Dr. Green. says this. The heart of prophecy is to say, let it be to the happening of God in our lives. That is to be a prophetic community. Being in a place, like I said, where God is doing something. Being in a place where God is doing something. Saying, God, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but let it be in my life. I've been in this church for X amount of time. And every time I leave, I feel the Holy Spirit moving in me. I feel something different, or I feel sad when I come on Sunday. You know what? Maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Talk about that sadness with somebody. Pray about that sadness. I heard this for many years until I realized I might have been wrong for a long time. When I'm doing my devotional, I don't know, maybe it happened to you. When I'm doing my devotionals, I'm reading in the morning, whatever. Or I'm praying. It gets even worse when I'm praying. All these distractions start coming. I got to pay the bill. I got to call this guy. Oh, you forgot to clean. Oh, take the trash, your wife. Yeah, like, why? I was not thinking about that. Like, right now, I sit down to do my devotional. All these thoughts are coming. And for a long time, I thought, the devil. I got to be the devil. Because he don't want me to pray. But now I don't want to give any theology to the devil. I start thinking about differently. I learned it like this. You're praying to God. You're talking to God by reading scriptures. And you start remembering those things. I want you to consider that might be God caring about you. And wants you to remember those things that he cares. You got it? Like, yeah, the trash is important, Mario. You got to take care of that. Your wife is going to get mad. Like, Mario, you had forgot to call such and such. So don't get it as a distraction. Write it down. Thank you, Jesus. You remind me of calling such and such. Thank you. You don't have to deal with that right now. But you're praying to God. You are caring about him. What is he doing? Caring about you. Amen. Caring back. And we have that. We have that idea with Mary. Let it be. In me, as you have said, but this is not a comfort place. This is not a knowledge place. This is not a control place. This is where we lean on each other. And if you don't get anything out of this message, you get this. We need to lean on each other. The mark of a prophetic community is that we walk in somebody's life, showing what we have, and this is what I have, man. And what is in his or her life, it's going to be awakened by God. That's the difference. We're not a club. We're not a club. We are here because of the living God gave us our faith. By resurrecting Christ from the dead. You come here not to feel bad or good. Or you just come here to feel and to be with and to pray to and with and through. There is a culture of individuality. You know this. Everything is about you don't have to get out of your house for nothing today if you don't want to. Nothing. You can do it all by yourself. That is satanic. And I'm not preaching against anything there's things that comfort are fine. But if you don't need each other, we have to be intentional to need each other. That's a prophetic community. Listen. I just had this happen with a friend. I was talking to him yesterday. And he said, Mario, I'm going to go travel to California, blah, blah, blah. And then go back. I say, okay, how are you going to get to the airport? Well, I'm getting an Uber. Why? But I don't know why. But I'll take you. And he'd be like, no, but I don't want to bother you. But if you don't bother me, you don't need me. How can I bless you? I'm not preaching against Uber, please. I'm just saying, if we can buy everything and we have an insurance for everything, why do I need you? Why do I need God? We need to need each other, people. The difference between, I'm from a third world country, right? And we're not as wealthy as this country, poor like that, right? People are not as wealthy as here. But not, I was never poor, because my dad, my mom would take care of me in that sense, but in general, people are not as wealthy, right? So There are some things we depend only on God. We don't have insurance. Like, I'm going to get to the airport. How am I going to do it? Well, I can't afford Uber. So I'm going to call such and such. Come, Mike, can you take me? No, okay. Oh, hey, can you take me? Oh, yeah, I'll take you. And then you go, you need, and then you spend time with each other. You pray for each other. You talk to each other. You fight with each other. That is the commitment. That's what I want to bring to you today. That's why I travel all the way from Boston to here to tell you, you have to care for each other and depend to each other. Do not buy into the culture of you can be independent. That is satanic. Amen. The difference between Judas and Peter is that Judas hid it inside himself. And death took a hold of him. Peter, when he got all crazy about Jesus being dead, he went back to fishing. But guess what? He brought his friends. Well, did the wrong thing. I'm not saying, but he didn't kill himself. He was like, he's dead. Come, I'm going to go back to what I was doing. He didn't supposed to go back to fishing, but at least he talked to somebody. That was the difference between life and death. Judas, no. He was so guilty. He was so bad that he just isolated himself. And that's what the devil wants you. Wants you and me. Because now he can convince you of anything. Even that Jesus cannot forgive you. I'll say it again. When you by yourself, in your mind, the devil can convince you that you cannot be forgiven. And you can. Just be vulnerable. Depend on each other. Another thing that I've realized is this. That it's a mark of the way God speaks. If you follow until now, I'm not going to go back, but if you follow until now, you see the angel speaks, Mary speaks, the angel speaks, Mary speaks, and then the angel leaves. What am I pointing this? If you see there, verse 38 says, and Mary said, behold, the Lord's bond servant, may it be done to me according to the word, and the angel departed from her. Look how beautiful that is. God is not the type of God that says something and turns around and leaves. He's going to be there to answer your question. Not every single question that you have in the future, no. Right? But the angel waited for her. Okay, well, these questions are clear. Okay, now the angel departed. So sometimes God's going to guide us in front. He's going to say things like the angel is saying. It's going to be clear. We'll see it. It's being prayed and it's clear. We're going to see it. That's what the angel is doing with Mary. Sometimes God's going to guide us from within. The internal witness of the Holy Spirit. You're just going to know. You're going to pray. You're going to talk to people. You're going to read. Oh, this is for sure. I don't have the signs, but I'm going to follow. Because I have a witness. And sometimes, and this is when it gets hard. And this is what happened with Mary. God's going to guide us from behind. El Shaddai, from behind. We're going to walk before God. Have you heard that in the Bible? Why am I going to walk before God? I don't want God before God. I want him to walk in front of me. Because God sometimes guides us from behind. And we should be aware of that. You know, when a pastor guides the sheep, most of the time he's not on the front. I'll tell you why. Because the sheep, they have this instinct of if they feel pushed, they move. And then they push the next sheep. And then... Like that, like a domino. So if I'm in the back and I'm the pastor, I just push the first one that's in front of me and I steer the whole thing, steering their last one. Sometimes God is like that. And Jacob says that. Go research it by yourself. Jacob says that, I see you, God El Shaddai, the God that guides us from behind. I have walked before you and I never, and sometimes we don't see God, of course we don't see it because he's guiding us from behind, but in the sense of when we look back, we're like, oh, you were there all the time. But it's hard to see it when we are leaving it. This is what happened with Mary. She doesn't have all the answers. But when she finishes with the questions, God says, okay, I'm going to go. God doesn't say, the angel doesn't say something, just walks away. That's a mark of God. Ask God. Don't worry about the questions you don't have, please. You don't have it, you don't have it. But the questions you have, ask him. Ask God through prayer. Ask God through your community. Ask God to those that you love and you're called to love. Ask God. Seek for him. Seek for his heart. He's not going to depart from you. But also, he will guide you from behind. He will open doors, situations. You see things searing. You're like, oh God, you're here. Is that okay? Okay, okay, let's go. Everybody's so quiet. All right, let's go. Let's go to the next one then. Verse, where do I stop? 39, right? Okay, let's go. Verse 39. Now, at this time, look at this. This is what happened. Mary just got a tip from the angel about Elizabeth, remember? Now, at this time, Mary set out and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Then, when Elizabeth, heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And now how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord will come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment in what had been spoke to her by the word." All right. Now, if I'm not wrong, it's around 90 miles for a pregnant woman. I don't know about you, but I'm not walking 90 miles. If I'm with her, I say, "Nope, you ain't going. You're pregnant with God. We can't lose this baby." Nope. And Mary, is she so desperate for confirmation and consolation that the first thing she does is she runs into Elizabeth. She's not certain. She don't know what's happening, but she knows Elizabeth has the same similar miracle. So what she's running is for consolation and confirmation. And as a prophetic community, sometimes we don't know. Or most of the time, we don't know what God is doing. We just have to run to the other person and say, "I don't know what God is doing." And we're gonna try to find consolation. You are going because you think you need that confirmation of the miracle. You need the consolation of the miracle. And guess what happened? You become the miracle in that person's life. Who got filled with the Holy Spirit? Elizabeth. Whatever was happening in Mary's womb wasn't confirmed. But the first thing that happened, actually, was Elizabeth's womb was moved. That's crazy. Think about this. You go to somebody for confirmation, for consolation, for witness to me that what God is doing in my life, it's real. And you're going to be with me. And the first thing God does is witness in that person like what God is doing in her life. How many times that is to be a prophetic community when we are open just to let God happen in our lives. And we accept that we have to run to each other to say, "I need your help." And when we do that, what God is doing in the other person's life is going to leap on her womb. And that person is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's I don't know about you, but I think it's so counterintuitive. It's just, we think we're going to go, we have something to offer. I go to you because you have something to offer to me. It's so transactional sometimes. It's not transformational. And what God does is most of the time unintentional. But what happens in life is unintentional. Mary's she's not trying to bless Elizabeth. Unintentionally, by being with her and struggling really with her problem, right? Her doubt, she's blessing Elizabeth. When people come to our community, when people become part of our church, we should tell them, we should know we have the answer. Jesus Christ resurrected. And that's it. Oh, what God is doing? Let's figure it out together. Tell me what God is doing in your life. Tell me what. And that, not because I have the answer, it's because I need you more than you think. When you go to somebody, Mike, I'm going to tell you this. When we go to feed the poor and the prisoners, you need them more than they need you sometimes. When you look at your kids, and you think, "Oh, they need me." Trust me, you need them more than they need you sometimes. When you come here to be with pastor, to be the people that serves at this beautiful church, they need you more than you think. "Oh, I'm gonna come because I need a blessing." They need you sometimes more than you need them. That's why you're here. And this is how to be a prophetic community. It's not to hide. It's when we run for confirmation and consolation, we find God moving in somebody else's life. And I wanted to see something here. At this point, remember, Elizabeth is witnessing, is full of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is being cleared so far for Mary. Well, Elizabeth had said the same that the angel had said. Feel the Holy Spirit. So, but Mary, she sees what's happening. She doesn't have a confirmation from Elizabeth that she's pregnant, does she? No. The only thing Elizabeth does is, oh, blessed are you. She witnessed what God is doing in her life, that witnessed what Elizabeth is doing, what God is doing in Mary's life. So it's like, Mary's still looking for an answer. It's not being clear, but she found consolation. She found affirmation. And most of all, both became, listen to this. This is a prophetic community. Both became a place where God can dwell. Both became a place that God can dwell. And this is the key. Sometimes we limit the prophetic in, I have it. I know it. No, that's not prophetic. We limit the prophetic. I don't believe, Pastor Kyle doesn't believe too, but he can talk by himself. But I don't believe in lonely prophets. Prophets are part of a community. Lonely prophets they're not attached to a community. They prophesy unresponsibly. And I've been there, I'm telling you. Going to a place and say things out of your mind, thinking that it's God, that's unresponsible because you don't have to pastor those words. You don't have to cry with those words. You don't have to sit down with those words. You know what? The words that God gave us here, personally, who's going to pastor those? Pastor Carl's going to pastor those words. You are going to pastor those words. Oh, what did God say? Marta's not going to be here. He's leaving. What did God say? Now you're going to be crying or in doubt. This is what a heart of prophecy is. That we don't figure out things. That we are available. That God will happen in us. And that we will go to each other for that. Again, I'm going to say it over and over until we finish. Yeah, I might not move from here. But if you get this here in Boca, here, if you get this here, this is the word that God gave me for this word, for the church. I was wondering where I was going to say this. It's here. I was praying for the church. I was praying for you before coming. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Pastor Kyle said, don't say that, Mario. You're supposed to pray. But yeah, I'm just saying. I was thinking about you, right? I was coming here, and God told me about Daniel, like, God, what? There's so much to say about Daniel. And I was like, why do I say that? Tell them. I was like, okay, just tell me when. And this is where. You, here in Boca, are going to become like Daniel if you allowed yourself to be a prophetic community. In what sense, Mario? Please judge this word with your pastor. In what sense? You're going to be not just separated, but you're going to be inside and separated at the same time. They're going to look at you. You're going to look just like them. But when they go close to you, they're going to see you're different. And they're going to wonder why you're different. You're going to reveal dreams to them that they are having that is God giving to them. But they don't know. They're going to know because of you. You're going to become a community that you're going to walk with people here in Boca, here in this area, here, whatever you're called to touch. People be like, hey, man, I've been feeling like this. You know it's God right there. You know. Just like Daniel did with the time that he was leaving. People come to him, give him dreams, like he said, this. Because you have the eyes of the Lord. You have the word revealed to you. You're going to be, oh, yeah, I know where that's going. This is going here. People go, how do you know? You know, why do I know? Because Jesus was resurrected from, and I received my faith. So I pray over you. This is the word that I release that God gave me over this church, over this house. You're going to be like Daniel here in Boca. You're going to reveal the hearts of the people to them. You're going to be separated, but at the same time, inside. They're going to see you. You might look. Yeah, average. You look like one of us. But once you're there, they're going to see. You eat different. You talk different. You believe different. You act different. This is the generation. This is what God has for you. They don't want us to be in a bubble. Right, Mike? They don't want us to be in a bubble. Christian bubble here. Hey, we're all happy. We sing and we are blessed. That's the devil can do that. That's what the devil would do. We'll give you in a bubble. We're good. The system works against us getting out of this bubble. I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying the system works out. You stay here. You're like, no, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to intercede. You're going to have an intercession meeting, right? Sunday. I'm going to intercede for my neighbor and for my friends. I'm going to listen to them because you have to sit at the table to listen to them. We want to have an opinion, or people want us to have an opinion about this and that. What is this? What is the church opinion about politics or about this or about that? You know what? Let's sit at the table. Get to know me first. I have some questions as a pastor that I don't answer after the 10th meeting. And I say it. Oh, do you have an opinion? Of course I have an opinion. But I don't say it until if you come to me and say, Mario, what is your opinion about this? If you're not from my church, of course, right? You just come to challenge me, right? Oh, I want to see your opinion about this. Oh, yeah, I'm glad to give you my opinion. Let's schedule a coffee. And it needs to be 10 sessions, 10 different weeks. And then after that, I'll tell you my opinion. If you still care about my opinion. Guess what? They don't care about your opinion. They don't care about you. But we should teach them how to care. Here, a lot of Latinos in this place. We like the table. I don't know about you, but in Brazil, we like to be at the table. We leave church, we go somewhere to eat. There's no way we're going to leave and go home. We like literally to be at the table with people. Let's promote that. I know I might be preaching to the choir here, but let's promote that here. Like your neighbor, that is just, you never talk to him, or he's a little weird. Well, guess what? Go sit at the table with him. Go sit at the table with him. Talk. Be vulnerable. People know when we are vulnerable. Come on. People know when we are trying to sales pitch, right? They know, but they know when we care too. They know when we care too. And this is the word that I have for us. That we became like Daniel for Boca. Is that okay? Let's move on. Let's go to the next part. And then last verses. So just a reminder. Mary goes to Elizabeth for consolation and confirmation. She doesn't find exactly. She finds confirmation. But she's still iffy about what's happened with her. But Elizabeth filled the Holy Spirit. Baby in her womb. Was there. Hey, I know something God's doing in your life because he's doing it in my life too. And now listen what happened. It's one of the most beautiful songs in scriptures. Right? We call it the Magnificat. In theology, it's this. Luke 1:46 to 56. Dwell with me here. And Mary said, My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondservant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. And holy is his name. Verse 50. And his mercy is to generations after generation towards those who fear him. 51. He has done mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. 52. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and send the rich away empty-handed. 54. He has given help to his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. 55. Just as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Verse 56. Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. How beautiful this is. Mary, even after she doesn't find exactly what she wants, she's able to worship God like this. What she's saying in the beginning of these songs, she's saying, God, you are doing in me the unexpected. You're doing unexpected and better. That's God. God is faithful, not predictable. God's going to be faithful. You can't predict how it's going to be faithful sometimes. And Mary acknowledges that. If you read the first verse, 47, 48, she says, you are going to do something that I didn't expect to me. And at the end of the day, I know who I am now. Listen, she runs to Elizabeth for confirmation. She doesn't find exactly what she's looking for, but she trusts that God is what he's doing in her life. And she's able to worship like this. She says, you're doing beyond what I can imagine. I did not expect what you were doing. But guess what? I just found myself. How confident she can say this. For behold, from now on, all the generations will call me blessed. You'd be like, wow. She's fooled herself. No, she's not. She just understands who she is. So this is the mechanics that I'm trying to show you. This is the interaction of a prophetic community. God has started something in your life that you don't know what's going on. You're like, how are you going to do it to me, God? How are you going to do it? You, don't forget it's me. And then you said, let it be. Even in your discomfort, you said, let it be, God, let's move on. And then you listen from God because God is pushing you towards somebody, towards the community. And then you go towards the community. And you by just being there, you just ignited in the Holy Spirit what God is doing in that person's life. And you get out of that what? Worship and a new identity. And finally, Mary, if you read it all, Mary can say, she understood. Remember when God was telling her back, was saying, I'm going to do it. He's going to reign in the throne of David. He's going to reign as Jacob. He's going to be. Now she understands and she says it back to God. Oh, I know you've been doing it. Now, how long has she been pregnant? We don't know. She's right at the beginning. Does she fully understand? No. But obedience causes community. Community causes the Holy Spirit to come upon us, in us, to witness. That causes worship. And worship causes obedience and a new identity in Christ. That's it. That's a prophetic community. Not a community that knows everything. That we know, you come here, we're going to reveal your past, future. No. No. Most of the time, you're going to be a blessing, but you don't try to be a blessing. But by being who you are in Christ, transformed, you're going to be a blessing by being there. Most of the time, unexpected. That's how Mary blessed Elizabeth. And last but not least, let me read verse 56, because we can miss this. As Pentecostals, charismatic, we might miss it. As Latinos, I know we miss this part. Verse 56, Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. All right, let's make a little math here. She was pregnant. Elizabeth was 6 months plus 3, 9. So I would say Elizabeth's about to have the baby or having the baby. What does Mary say? This is wisdom. Gold. She's like, you don't need me to be here now. You've been a blessing to me. I've been a blessing to you. But from this point on, you have to deliver this baby without me. You have too much in your hand to take care of me now. You have a mute husband. Remember this? You have a mute husband. You're about to have a baby. I have to go away. And this is what we might miss it. Being a prophetic community is not overwhelming and be with people all the time. There's a time that you're going to step away. There's a time you're going to just allow that person to leave what she needs or he needs to leave. You've been with them. You saw the baby growing. You helped. And now it's time to move away. Wow. That hurts, huh? You've been there. Been praying, helping, investing. And it's time to move away. Because you know that if you stay past that, you're not going to be a blessing. That is wisdom. It's hard. It's hard for me as a husband. As a dad, as a pastor, it's hard. We want to be there, right? We want to be there. But ask God, when should I step away? Not because I'm abandoning you. No, it's because it's just time to end this. She's going to come back. They're going to be together. But this is the time that you're going to deliver the baby by yourself. And this is wisdom. I want the band to start coming up back, please. This is wisdom. That we know where to move away. See, hopefully, I'll help communicate this to your heart. That when we talk about being a prophetic community, we are not talking about certainty. We're talking about what God can do in uncertainty, obedience, and relationships to each other. And true confession. True confession. True depending on each other. And saying, I don't know what God's doing in your life, but He's doing it in my life too. Let's do it together. Let's do it together. And that's how we're going to grow in a prophetic community. Not know. And again, I'm here trying to tell you to know something and to say, no, don't know it. It's kind of a oxymoron, right? It's like crazy. Mario, you're telling me not to know or to know. No, I'm just saying you don't have to know or have comfortable or be. No, God's going to do if you say, let it be back to Him. If you get close to each other. I want you to stand up with me, please. Don't get distracted. Just stand up if you can, please. My invitation for you today, and I know there's no way that what you're thinking right now, what you're feeling right now, what it's stirring up inside of you, there's no way that is because the lights or because the way I speak, nothing. It's because what you are listening, the Holy Spirit is witnessing your heart. And it's steering, it's moving you. And my invitation is that you close your eyes and listen to my voice. I want you to believe in what God is doing in your life. And if you say, Mario, I don't think God is doing anything, I'm going to tell you right now, He is. Lean into it. Lean in your community. Lean in those that you love, that love you. You're going to be a blessing. They need you. This community needs you. I don't care your age or I don't care. This community needs you more than you think. Accept the changes. If you are like Mario, I said yes. Things are shifting. It's getting uncomfortable. Just accept it. Talk about it. Pray about it. Be vulnerable. Accept the changes. Talk back to God and say, God, let it be in my life. Let it be in my life. Let it be in my life. Allow God to take you out of your comfort zone. I know sometimes our lives is so built into be comfort. We know that. It's I'm not preaching against comfort. I'm just saying if God is pushing you away from your comfort zone, it's because of His grace and His mercy and His justice and His love and everything about Him and His faithfulness, everything about Him. Allow yourself to be out of the comfort zone, because you know what? Out of the comfort zone, there's transformation for you and blessing for those around you. Don't isolate yourself. I've said this. I'm going to say it again. Don't isolate yourself. If you have a struggle, if you have a sin in your life, go talk to somebody. Or if you have something that you don't understand why God is doing, go talk to somebody. Pray with somebody. Get at the table. Don't isolate yourself. Please, in the name of Jesus, do not allow yourself to be caught in your own mind without talking and depending. Become prophetic to your brother and tell them. Tell them. And above all, I wanted to understand this. Keep your eyes closed. I wanted to understand what God's going to do in your life, in my life, is bigger than we can imagine. It's unexpected. It's miraculous. He wants to do with you only the things that you cannot do without Him. Embrace. Embrace what God can do in your life. Embrace that God can be good beyond your imagination, beyond our imagination. Let the presence of God overwhelm you in this moment. Let the presence of God come. Let the presence of God be. Let the presence of God stay. Let the presence of God be acknowledged by you. I wanted to put your hands like this, like you're receiving. Just lay your hands front. Yes, like this. Yes. Holy Spirit, thank you. You're giving us, each one of us, a gift today. Put your hands together, like receiving, like you're receiving one gift like this. Prophetic, I want to do a prophetic act like this. You're receiving, yes. Say, God, thank you for this gift. Thank you because you are reminding me of the gift that you have given me, of the gift that I've become to somebody else, of the gift that you are to me. Come, Holy Spirit. May those that are here that have forgotten their purpose, that have gone away from what you have called them, may they be passionate again for you, God. Passion for what you put in their hearts. God, thank you. I pray for you that are here. I pray for you that are here, that you remember how good it was to be in the, how beautiful it was to be in the center of the will of God, and you feel like you're away. You feel like, oh, I've done nothing wrong, but I'm just not doing what God told me to do. I'm doing things that are not, they're okay, they're fine, they're not against, but they're not exactly what God called me to do. This is you. This is you what I'm talking to. You might be running away by doing good things. God doesn't want you to do just good things. He wants you to do good and the right things. And you know I'm speaking to you. You know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You have been hiding. You have been saying, God, this is not for me. This gift you gave me, you might have forgotten about it. I don't even have it anymore. And I want to remind you, you have it. And if you're here, this is another group I'm praying for. And you're like, God, I never got a gift. I don't even know. I receive it by faith right now. Close your hands like you're receiving that gift. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. May this community become a prophetic community to this city, to this state. May each one of us become a prophetic community, a prophetic voice to our families, a prophetic presence to our neighbors and to our enemies. God, may us become what you want us to become. Let it be in our lives. Let it be in our lives, God. I pray, Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll come and you'll stay. Thank you for being here. We love you. Thank you for being so close to us. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here today, I can pray for you anytime if you want. I can stay here praying. But right now, I specifically want those that I've prayed for, that you have been hiding from the Lord. You had a calling. You have a calling. You're not necessarily doing something wrong, like I said. But you're just not doing exactly what God told you. Maybe 10 years ago. Maybe 5 years ago. Maybe 20 years ago. And you have been like, God, I like where I am, but I'm hiding. I know exactly what you want me to be, but I'm just afraid. And if that's you, that's you, I want you to come to the front. If you don't feel comfortable, come to the front. You come to me at the end. I'll pray for you. But there's something about coming to the altar. And I'm opening it right now if you want to come. And declare before God and before everybody else that you are available to what God is going to do in your life. By stepping forward, by coming all the way up here, you know, it's not because you want to tell Mari that you want a prayer. No. It's because you're telling your community, I need you. It's because you're telling God, I need you. And I don't know how to say I need you besides coming to the front right now and accepting that I've been hiding from you. That I've been hiding from you. There's something inside of me that I'm uncomfortable, that I don't know how to say it, but I need you. God, I pray for those that are here. I pray for your Holy Spirit to come and reveal calling, purpose, identity in Christ by reveal today, God. Thank you. I pray for those that are not here, but they haven't come to the front, but they're somewhere here or somewhere online. I pray in the name of Jesus, you will encounter God in your community, in the people around you, in scriptures, in prayer. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would not hide anymore, that God had not repented. And He wants you and He needs you and your community needs you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
He's the greatest, your name.